Did you know that the Evangelical Church, which we are all part of, has been meeting on the beach for more than 20 years to celebrate Easter at sunrise? And we are so thankful this morning that the government has given us permission to meet here today. Praise the Lord for that. This morning we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. I wonder if you've ever thought about that. Stop to think, wait, we're celebrating something that most people would say is impossible. I mean, it goes against everything that we know about this life. You know, you live, you work, and then when your time has come, you die. End of story. But more than 2,000 years ago, a rich man named Joseph laid the lifeless body of Jesus in a tomb. There was no mistaking, Jesus was dead. He'd hung on a cross, and 6 hours later, he had died. And just to make sure, the guards had stabbed him in the side with a spear. And so, with the body wrapped in linen, Joseph placed Jesus in a tomb that had been cut out of a rock. And then they rolled a great big stone in front of that rock, and they placed guards in front to make sure that he would stay there and that no one would come and take him. Jesus was dead and buried. And had it been any other man, that's where the story would have ended. But on the third day, something miraculous happened. There was an earthquake, and an angel descended from heaven whose appearance was like lightning, and he rolled back the stone. Jesus had risen. The tomb was empty. Death no longer had a hold on him. He had conquered the power of death and now had a new resurrection life. What did this mean? What would happen now? Does this change things? Yes, this changes everything. And that is what the rest of the New Testament is all about. What does the resurrection of Jesus mean for the rest of our lives? How does Jesus' resurrection change things? So the passage that Nissen read for us from Romans chapter 6 is perhaps one of the clearest connections between Jesus' resurrection and what it means for our lives now. Verse 8, it says, "Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him." Notice that word, believe. We believe. It's something that we're actually doing. It's the first thing that Jesus asked of us. In Mark 1:15, where he said, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." So as Paul then states in verse 5, we believe that we have been united with Christ in his death. And because Jesus has risen from the dead, we are united with him in his resurrection. Now, to be clear, none of us were physically present when Jesus was buried. And even those who were physically present were not physically buried with him. What Paul is talking about is being united with Jesus through faith, so that all that Jesus has accomplished on the cross and through his death and through his resurrection is as if we have gone through it too, only we've passed through without any judgment. As Jesus enters death, he leads us through with him, taking the punishment for us so that we don't take it. And as Jesus rises again, he brings us with him into new, everlasting resurrection life, the fullness of which we will only see when he comes again. But this is not, it's not just a picture, it's not just an analogy to help us understand something, it is a new spiritual reality. For those who have been united with Christ through faith, have a new spiritual life now. Yeah, the physical body will die, but the spirit is more alive than ever. Verse 7, the one who has died has been set free from sin. All the weight of that sin that had brought about our spiritual death, it's now been removed. The chains have been loosed. The heart of stone has been replaced and we've been given a heart of flesh. We were dead in our sins, but God has made us alive together with Christ. Sin no longer has power over us. We've been set free. Yes! Praise the Lord! But here's the problem. As Christians, we don't always live like that's true. We don't always live in the reality of our new spiritual life. We struggle to believe that we really do have power over sin. You know, it's like we've been united with Christ in his death, and then we've failed to follow him out of the tomb. That's what Paul is writing to the Romans about in this passage. He's saying, look, the resurrection is real. So let's live in the reality of this new spiritual life that we have in him. Let's follow Jesus out of the tomb. Let the faith in Christ that we have bear fruit in such a way that it demonstrates that Jesus has risen from the dead. Or to put it another way, Paul is calling us to demonstrate fruitful faith that follows Jesus out of the tomb. Fruitful faith that follows Jesus out of the tomb. Well, what does that look like? Well, I want to share with you some real life stories. A lady in our church has a boss who makes her life difficult. And this lady has been spending her nights just thinking about how she might get revenge on her boss, how she might make her boss's life difficult as well. But then one night, something miraculous happened. She believed. She remembered that Jesus endured so much more at the hands of sinful people, and yet never once did he lash out in anger. She realized that instead of justly condemning people, he took their sin on himself and died. And chief among those sinners was her. The grace of Christ just washed over her, and she was enabled to extend grace to her difficult boss and not seek revenge. There was no earthquake, no dazzling angel, and her boss is still difficult, but it was a woman demonstrating fruitful faith that follows Jesus out of the tomb. Or another lady in our church married the love of her life, only to find out that her mother-in-law now despised her for stealing her son away from her. Her mother-in-law was unkind and hurt her with her words and pushed her away. Their relationship was broken. But then something miraculous happened. She believed. She realized that Jesus had done the impossible, and he had reconciled her to the Father. So she too could now be an agent of reconciliation with her mother-in-law. So after years of silence, She reached out to her mother-in-law by her own initiative to ask her how she's doing and to begin the process of seeking reconciliation with her mother-in-law. There was no earthquake, no dazzling angel, and their relationship isn't fully reconciled. But it was a woman demonstrating fruitful faith that follows Jesus out of the tomb. Well, let me tell you about a young man in our church who has struggled for years with looking at inappropriate images online. And at the end of one long week, like many other times, he was feeling tired, he was introspective, he was seeking comfort. But then something miraculous happened. He believed. He realized that this pattern of sin was only leading to death. It never delivered what it promised. It never satisfied. He remembered that true and lasting comfort and real joy comes only from Christ. So he messaged his brothers and asked them to pray for him. He saturated himself in God's word and he prayed and he satisfied his soul with the Savior's love for him. There was no earthquake, no dazzling angel, but it was a man demonstrating fruitful faith that follows Jesus out of the tomb. Or there's a couple in our church. They've been separated geographically for a few years. And during that time, the husband had begun to find comfort in all the wrong places. And he was unfaithful to his wife. And when she came to join him here in Dubai, he had realized the error of his ways and he confessed his sin to her. Well, she was hurt. And she had every reason to just divorce him. And he was hurting too, and he had little hope of forgiveness. And their situation, humanly speaking, was hopeless. The marriage effectively dead. But then something miraculous happened. She believed. She forgave him. She realized that even though his sin was great and deserved punishment, God's mercy is greater still. And that mercy has also been given to her. So they started working through their relationship with a newfound hope and new life. It wasn't easy. And there was lots to deal with, and they had to keep forgiving one another. But there was life. No earthquake, no dazzling angel, but it was a couple demonstrating fruitful faith that follows Jesus out of the tomb. So Paul says to us in verse 10, "For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Oh, brothers and sisters, let's not live as if we've forgotten to follow Jesus out of the tomb. Because the reality is, we have been united with Christ in his resurrection. That means that sin no longer has power over us. Instead, as Paul says in Ephesians 1, the power that is at work in us now is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That is what is at work in us to overcome the power of sin. That is power to extend grace to a difficult boss. that it is power to be an agent of reconciliation, and it is power to overcome entrenched patterns of sin. It is real and lasting power at work in us now. It's not always easy, and it usually doesn't look very spectacular, but it is possible. Why? Because Jesus has risen from the dead. Let's demonstrate fruitful faith that follows Jesus out of the tomb. Let's pray. Oh Father, we were dead in our sins, powerless to overcome, powerless to reconcile ourselves to you and others. But Lord, you have united us with Christ through faith, so that we now have his resurrection power at work in us. We can resist temptation, we can change, and we can love others where before it was impossible. Lord, all of this possible because Christ has risen from the dead. Lord, help us to believe the reality of what this means for us now. Help our unbelief. And give us increasing joy, Lord, as we long and we wait for that day when sin will be no more, when Christ will return and we will be raised with him to everlasting life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.